title of this message is called Promises Made, Promises Kept. And I'll explain a little bit into it. I'm going to read a few scriptures and I'll explain a little bit about where this message came from. The reality is when God gives us his word, he means it. So that's why we say over and over and over again, get into his word, study his word, because it's going to help you in your walk. It's going to teach you about our Savior. It's going to teach you about how much he loves you. All this, we sang these amazing songs. So the word is going to teach us about the Savior that we serve. So, and staying grounded in him, his word is fresh. It's alive. It's living word. It's not, you just read it once and you get all that you need. No. So we say that all the time, but he also speaks words to us frequently. We hear things. When we learn who he is, we have this relationship with us where he speaks things to us and he reveals things to us and he tells us things that he wants to do to us, in us personally and with us as a body. And we're going to look at some of that today. But I just have a couple of scriptures before I get into some of the specifics of this word. So the Numbers, in the book of Numbers, not a book that many of you probably necessarily say, oh, I'm going to study Numbers today. But there's a great passage where this affirmation of who our God is, that he's firm in what he says and what he does. It says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and then not fulfill? So I'm standing here today to tell you that this God that we serve, the things that he tells you in his scriptures about things he has for you, or ways he wants you to live, things he wants you to do, he means it, and he will do on our behalf what we cannot do for ourselves. Our part is simply cooperating with him, doing the things, the scriptural instructions that he gives to us, putting them into practice, and then he takes it and goes way beyond. If I could have ever imagined my life after I said yes at age 20, when he said he'll direct your path, as long as I just acknowledge him, if I could have ever sat down and mapped out what my life would look like, this would not be it. This would not be it. But he does more than we could ever think or imagine. And I stand here testifying to that, and I could go around this room and we would hear testimony after testimony of he's faithful. The bottom line is, if God says it, either in his word or prophetically, he means it, and he will do it. So if there's something you're still waiting on, some promise that you're still waiting on, hold on to it. Hold on to it. No matter how many promises God has made, Paul tells us this in 2 Corinthians, no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. That's why sometimes you'll hear somebody say, amen. Amen. We're affirming that yes, I've experienced the reality. I have to watch the lines on the floor because I've been told I get outside of the boundaries of the cameras. So no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ, which is again the reason we continue to let Christ mold and shape who we are. We lean into him. We consult with him. Our relationship is with him, and so whatever the promises are in Christ, they're yes. They're yes, and only in Christ. Apart from him, it's a free-for-all. Can't tell you what all might look like. In Romans, this was a reference to Abraham back in Genesis. Yet he, Abraham, did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith. So the promise of God was, you're an old man and your wife is going to give you a child, which seemed impossible, seemed hilarious, seemed like it was never even within the realm of possibility. But Abraham did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God. He was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. And then I just referenced the promise from Genesis. The Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Will I really have a child now that I'm old? Is anything too hard for God? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son.'" And of course, we know that that came to pass. And so, is anything too hard for God? Is anything too hard for God? Is anything, any deposit that he's even put in you, if he's given you a deposit of some kind, some promise of some kind, something that he wants to do and hasn't happened yet, does it look too difficult? Sometimes it does. Honestly, you know, accepting the call to be the pastor here, it didn't make any sense. It made no sense. It was right when my daughter was beginning college. It made no sense to leave my employment on paper. But he's faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful. And so this message kind of grew out of two messages. For whatever reason, during this time, I've been prompted to go back and listen to two messages. Now, we were shut down for about 8 weeks, 8-9 weeks. And Pastor Ben and Pastor Shane each gave messages, and these were their first two online messages. And I remember even hearing them. And if you haven't seen them, watch on YouTube, Abundant Life Fellowship OH. Just go to YouTube and plug in Abundant Life Fellowship OH, and you can see all the messages from Abundant Life that are on there. But Pastor Ben's was Darkness Before the Dawn, and that was on March 29th, and Pastor Shane's was The Surge a week later on April 5th. And for whatever reason, as we've reopened, I've been prompted to just revisit those, and this week I actually went back and listened a couple of times to these two words. And I sat there taking notes and just listening, and they're only about 20 minutes long, so they're not long listens. So if you want to go back, do so. There's rich stuff there, but I'm just going to go through them a little bit, because some of the things they said as I was listening to these words, and both of these messages talked about what's God doing during this season that we're away, and how does it connect with what he wants to do once we're reopened? And but just my eyes were just kind of bulging out of my head as I was listening to these words and realizing some of the things that he has done. We sometimes don't always see the big picture and see the broad spectrum of what he's doing in our midst. And I think even now, especially if we're not we don't have a lot of small groups going. If we're coming on Sunday mornings only, we don't have a lot else happening. We don't always see the details of what he has done and what he's doing during a time like this. And so we're going to go through some of that. So we're going to start with Darkness Before the Dawn. So in some ways, this is a review of these messages, but we're bringing it up to this date in terms of what some of this may mean. So Pastor Ben referenced another message he gave that was from January 26th. That message was called This Is That. This Is That. It was a powerful message of, again, things that the Lord had spoken to us that he was going to do in the future, and things that we were going to be experiencing. And in that message, Pastor Ben referenced, this is that. Some of the things we're seeing, experiencing, these are those moments that they're here. We don't have to wait for them anymore. They're here. It's happening. And so he referenced a lot of that kind of thing in this Darkness Before the Dawn. He said, pools of revival will turn into oceans. Sanctuaries will have to figure out where to put people. Prepare for the influx. Embrace the new. Forget about the old. The whole idea of embrace the new and forget about the old, that's sometimes hard. I don't know about you. I like my ducks in a row. And, I like knowing, well, I think we're in a time where he's saying, just watch me. Just watch me. It may not look like it did last year. It may not look like it did last week. But watch me, because I'm doing things, and it may look different, but I'm still doing things. I'm doing things in the midst of a pandemic. I'm doing things in the midst of nationwide chaos, worldwide chaos. I'm doing things. So he referenced our come home word that I outlined at the beginning of 2020, pointing out that more people would be coming home, whether that coming home referenced, you know, people that had been here in the past were coming home, or just some were finding their home in Christ for the very first time. There's a booklet that we passed out with our word this year that's still available. It's called My Heart, Christ's Home, and it's for, you know, if you're a new believer in this place, I encourage you to get one, because it'll talk a little bit about what it means to have Christ coming to live in your heart, making your heart his home, and some of the battles and decisions we make along the way. We're about to see things we have been dreaming about. We need to open our eyes to see what God is about to do. There will be great moments, and there will be low moments. I have quotes around most of these things. They may be, some of them may be paraphrases, but so they may not be direct quotes. So and then he referenced some "this is that" moments. You have been waiting on someone you have been praying for to come home. I'm pointing these out, and then I'm going to talk about the realities. You've been waiting on someone you've been praying for to come home. You will see what you've been waiting for come to pass. You will get revelation that you are carrying destiny in your body, revelation about what you're supposed to be doing. So then let's turn to the surge, Pastor Shane's word. And he talked about the surge being this thing that happens, and actually they got to witness this when they were at the beach, this surge of water where it'll come in and then it'll go out, and the beach is actually almost vacated of water. It's barren, but only temporarily. When it comes back, even stronger. The Holy Spirit gave Shane this message that this was a little bit what he saw coming for the future. Just as the water had left the shore during a surge, the churches are now empty, but we know the doors are going to open again. When people lose control, or what control they think they have, they begin to search for the one who has answers. When this all ends, we should expect a surge of people that are looking for hope, for love, for Jesus. What we see coming is a surge of salvation and surrender. Wow. He challenged us during our time away to steward God's presence. Now remember, this was his first message while we were away. And so we were still kind of new being away, but he said, learn to steward God's, even though we're not in worship together, learn to worship while you're away. Learn to treasure that. And again, remember that we had just been experiencing this resurgence among worship in our youth, and we've talked a lot about that since we've been back. And how important it is to not depend on, and I think he even used this phrase, the constructs of church to know how to worship. Don't depend on somebody else, somebody playing a piano or playing the guitar or singing to motivate your worship. And so he was just talking about how important that is for us to learn how to do that. So once we reopened, we could and would minister out of that pool of resource. Once we reopened, we would minister out of that pool of his presence. Because we've been staying in his presence. We've been stewarding it. We've been treasuring our intimacy with him. We sang about that today. That whole idea of all that I am being wrapped up in your presence. We can do that apart from one another, apart from the instruments, apart from anything external. And so he suggested that as we do that, that's going to affect people that are coming in, because we're going to be so full of Jesus, we're going to be so full of his presence, that that's somehow going to be tangible. going to be tangible to somebody maybe that doesn't know Jesus yet. He said, we need a church full of Levites so that we can handle the surge. Church full of Levites. Levites were the worshipers, so we can handle the surge. He also said that the surge that was coming would not be able to be maintained or stewarded by the pastoral leadership alone. Would not be able to be stewarded by me and Pastor Mark and Pastor Ben and Pastor Shane, but we needed other people to come alongside of us and to take on responsibilities that would require all of us stepping up to care for those coming our way. Prepare for the surge that is coming. Learn how to carry his presence so that we can deliver people into surrender and salvation like never before. So, since we reopened, I'm just going to go through a few things. I'm going to try to explain some of these without, I'm a little gun shy about necessarily identifying individuals. I may. We'll see how it goes. But this is real stuff that has taken place since we reopened. And I don't know if I'd call this a surge yet, but there are 40 people that have been coming here since we reopened that were not coming here at the time that we shut our doors. At least 40 people that have been coming here that were not regularly with us. You know, that's nothing to sneeze at. That's relevant. And probably we wouldn't necessarily know that. There's times when I'm looking even at the crowd. I think a couple weeks ago when Lene was here, and this is Lene and Rex, if you don't know. She was here, and I didn't know who it was because she had her mask on. And I think at first I thought it was Erica, Erica Petticord. So with masks, sometimes we don't, because we're not having a whole lot of necessary fellowship on Sundays, we don't necessarily know who's in the room and who's sitting behind me. I think somebody even said today, where have they been sitting? And they've been sitting behind me, somebody in particular. So there's people that have been coming that were not here. People have come home. Some who were here years ago that are here now. Some that didn't know Jesus when they walked in the door 5 weeks ago, 6 weeks ago. And there's interchange among some of these this is that moments among some of the. Examples that I'm giving. There's a lot of crossover. In the span of a month, 36 people have been baptized. God's up to stuff. He said he was going to do stuff, and he's doing it. The span of a month, 36 people have been baptized. One of those baptized was a mom. And her daughter-in-law and granddaughter were there to witness it. The next week, that daughter-in-law and her husband, the son of the mom who got baptized, and their children were in church. And they've been here every week since. And over the past two Sundays, last Sunday, the son gave his heart to Jesus. The week before, the son, daughter-in-law gave her life to Jesus. They both got in the baptism waters last week. That's an example of repent and be baptized. Repent and be baptized. We don't see the quickness of that cycle too often, but that's what happened. That's what happened. There's more with that. I'll get to it. Our worship and carrying his presence, as Pastor Shane encouraged us When we first reopened, I noticed something immediately, and at first I thought, well, what I'm sensing and experiencing is simply a response to us being apart. You know, when you don't have what you're used to having, and that is having the freedom to come together and worship, you appreciate that even more. So my first response to coming into worship, those first few weeks was that this is really special because we haven't had it. You know, we haven't enjoyed this. But I began to realize, no, this was something deeper, and there was something going on, and it seemed to be not limited to just a few people, but people had actually done what Pastor Shane had encouraged, and that was they were stewarding his presence, and they were bringing it in here in a way that was taking us somewhere deeper. And I don't know all the reasons, and I don't know even how to explain all of that, but I believe that there was a reality from that word. At least that's my observation, is that worship went somewhere and continues to go somewhere. That is, we're not given lip service. We are experiencing him. It's real. We're not working anything up. We're not putting on any sort of, show. We're experiencing him in real time, in those moments, and something is taking place. So I think it might have been the first Sunday that I might as well just say their names. It's Tracy, Chad, and Jen. Tracy got baptized. Next week her family comes, and you know, we're all wearing masks, so you can't really even see people. But I remember meeting her son, and she said something to me that next week. And I, I'm a kind of a touchy person. I mean, I usually put my hand on, and I think I probably just put my hand on his shoulder or on his back or whatever. And she said something, because we have no idea what Holy Spirit is doing in anybody at any given time. But she said that her son said that as I touched him, that he felt love from a stranger. Now, I'm not in any way saying, oh, yay me, love from, that's the work of Holy Spirit. That's carrying his presence in a real and tangible way that brought a tangible result in somebody that I had never met before, somebody we didn't know before. And I just look at the progression of what is happening in this entire family. It's only a work of God. It's only a work of God, and only he deserves the glory. But it's an example. We get to carry his presence. Do you grasp that we get to carry his presence wherever we go? And then without us even knowing it, a deposit might be made. Pastor Ben said we would be experiencing some great highs and some great lows. Well, to me, the highs are already, salvation is one of the greatest highs we could ever experience. But let's put some context in this. So some lows, we know that while we were gone, Debbie C. lost her husband. That's a low. She's still dealing with that loss. But she also got last week to stand on the shore and watch her granddaughter say, I'm doing this, I'm getting these waters again because I'm learning to treasure the presence of my Savior. And let me tell you that those teens in that water last week, almost every one of them said that very same thing again that Shane encouraged us to do is value his presence. And every one of those kids said, I'm doing this again because I'm learning to experience his presence like I've never done before. So in the middle of her pain and loss, she also gets to celebrate watching her daughter, her granddaughter, go someplace in her walk with Jesus. She was one of the worship team up there this morning. That's real. Again, Kyler and Caitlin Smith right here is Joanne Smith's oldest son. Although his mom left this earth, his mom went home to be with Jesus. Victory for her. Finished her race. But it's his mom. Loss. Great loss. Great loss. In the middle of great loss, he's been here every week. Every week since the day after the weekend of her funeral. Every single week, he's gotten involved in the Men of Valor. He's gotten involved in the Remnant. High. Great highs, great lows. The hops. We're still dealing, still mourning, without confirmation of anything. But let me tell you, the last 2 weeks, in the middle of the mourning, Sherry's down here praying salvation for Jen and for Chad. She's down here ministering. Great highs, great lows. And we're experiencing both simultaneously. We're not dismissing the reality of the pain and the loss and the griefs. But in the middle of it, we can also celebrate the goodness of our God because he's doing great things in the middle of it. There was another man who's been here a couple of times, who was invited by another new person, and he's dealt with loss this year. Two people in his family passed away, and in the middle of that, he was invited to come to church. In the middle of that, he's realizing that there's something to this. Came to Men of Valor this past week. Sometimes the lows that God works in and does things, we get to be a part of them. We get to minister. We get to love. We get to care. We get to be stretched. Another high that I didn't have initially in my notes, but this is while we were away, I think I referenced this in one of my messages. Some of us had the privilege of moving one of our members, during the course of that move, there was a couple there where the guy has some health issues, and he was going in that very next week for kind of an evaluation and checkup on how he was doing, and we got that day to gather around him and lay hands on him and pray for him. And they come here occasionally. I got to marry them and a number of years ago. And since that checkup, his first test came out wonderful. And they said, well, if things progress, pretty soon we're going to be able to remove a feeding tube from you. And this week I got a message from the wife and said, we got great news. No feeding tube. No feeding tube. And I stand here and tell you, and without going into the whole lot of detail, this is nothing short of miraculous. Great high. Great high. Great high that in the middle of a pandemic, we were able to help someone move, able in the middle of that to gather around someone and pray for them. God gets all the glory. Revelation of destiny, things we've dreamed about, ministries, leaders emerging. So So I was reading on Facebook this week, and this was from one of the people that got baptized, a new believer, who wrote this: "Thank God for letting me realize what I am here for." Talk about revelation of destiny. Thank God for letting me realize what I'm here for. After these past 2 days, I've reached a new plateau. There's been divine intervention that I refuse to ignore. Impeccable timing and deep thought have made me arrive at this moment. And I wrote, this is that which Pastor Ben referenced about people carrying destiny in their bodies. This is just one example. But it was so profound, it jumped off the page when I read it. And I read it right as I was listening to these messages again. I was like, oh my goodness, this is someone coming into understanding of what they're here for soon after saying, I surrender, Jesus. Soon after getting in the water saying, I declare to the world I no longer belong to its systems. I now belong to a Savior. Things we've dreamed about. The emergence of the remnant. I mean, I had a whole lesson on it a few weeks ago. The emergence of the remnant as a ministry here has been something I've dreamed about for years. Connie and I, in our younger days here, taught young adults. I was 20 years old when I came to Christ, so my passion for that demographic has always been deep and real, and it's been a void in ministry here for a while, and God, Holy Spirit, in this season, that's my grandson. Don't worry about it. He's saying, "Amen, Grandpa." God in his sovereignty put it on the heart of the Cados and the guys and others to say, we wanna shepherd this group. We wanna get behind this demographic of these young people who are the future. And again, I had a whole teaching on it. But God did that. I didn't sit down and say, well, that's been my heart all these years to have this group that Connie and I used to teach and have somebody else do that. It's always been kind of in the back of my mind, but we didn't sit down and say, okay, let's figure out how to do this. No, Lord put it on someone's heart and said, can we do this? Can we do this? Something we've dreamed about for a long time has emerged. It has emerged. And again, along with that, Pastor Shane said, these things that are emerging, you and Pastor Ben and Pastor Mark and Pastor Shane are not going to be able to handle it all. You're not going to be able to. And here's this whole new ministry that I have to say, we have nothing to do with other than saying, go for it. You have our support. What can we do if you need us? Run with it. Run with it. The last thing I have up here says room in the sanctuary. It's not necessarily true today, but because part of Pastor Ben's word was, you're not going to have room in your sanctuaries. And I think in the back of our minds, we have this idea that people are going to come flooding in all at once. And I'm not sure that that's still not a possibility here in the next few months and after. Because whatever happens this fall, if you think things in our country are going to just suddenly get better, whatever the outcome of the election is, things are going to get even more chaotic one way or the other. It doesn't matter which way it goes. So who has something to offer hope? The body of Christ. the body of Christ. And we will always do our best to tell people the truth. But anyway, last Sunday, as worship was unfolding and people were filtering in, it was the first Sunday that since we've reopened, where I thought, I don't know if we have enough room for, because with the social distance, I'm not talking that we didn't have empty seats. We of course have empty seats, but room and still keep strangers apart, you know, the distancing. I don't know what to make of all that, except that God is doing what he said he would do. He's doing what he said he would do. And there's more layers to this that I could go into, but I'm not going to get into some of the details because there's specific things with this remnant. And I said this from the start. We're going to see things as families get to know families and couples come together and they find like interests and they find Holy Spirit's going to do things to open even more ministries, to start even more ministries. And we're here as a body to say, yes. Yes in Christ. Yes in Christ. All of his promises that when they're in Christ are yes. Yes. So I was looking back on a message. It was a six-part series that I gave in 2012, 8 years ago. 8 years ago. And it was called Puzzles, Fitting the Pieces Together, which is exactly kind of what we do week by week, figuring out, oh, who's that person? Oh, what's happening in that life? What's the word for us today? Why does the Lord give us this word? Why does he give us that word? Why is he fitting it all together? And that was a six-part series I did. And the very last part of that series was The Unknown. Part six was The Unknown. And I was looking through notes of that this week. So here were possibilities that were mentioned in The Unknown. More younger people emerging to position themselves for their future here. More younger people. You know, what we get to witness here with our young adults worship team, and I think Pastor Shane said this last time, and this is just how God works. They're not second string. They're not second string. They are bringing us into a place of worship, just as Pastor Mark and the other teams do, the other members of that team. The Lord has done this work in them. They are younger people emerging to position themselves for their future here. Pastor Shane has already said a couple of times to me, he said, I can't even tell you how much help that Isaac and Logan and Anastasia and Tanner are to me with the youth. These are young adults that are no longer in high school, but the Lord has put his hand on them. He's put his hand on them, and they know it. They are absolutely aware of the call on their lives, and they're emerging. So another possibility from 2012 was the formation of home groups, connection groups. Huh. That's established. Those were started last year, and even during the pandemic, some of you guys in your connection groups have still been maintaining some sort of meeting. Hosting a conference or two, huh? I'd completely forgotten about what was on this list until I went back and looked at the notes, and I was like, oh, we had a conference. We had a belonging conference. We delved into that. Now it was, what, 7 years later. It took us 7 years, but that doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. And we're planning it again in March, this next March. So hosting a conference, working on the debt, working on our debt. I stand here today telling you that our mortgage, and again, this is during a pandemic. Your giving has been astounding during a pandemic. Our mortgage is down to less than $200,000. That's amazing. That's amazing. and then preparing the property for the future. And you know, anybody that's looking around the property, you can see we're getting ready for whatever God has planned for us, whatever he said he wants to do with us as a body, as a people, we're getting ready for it. And part of getting ready is simply letting him mold and shape us, letting him just keep us bowed down to him, listening for his voice, listening for his instruction. And the thing about listening for his instruction, we don't listen to his instruction and say, okay, now I got to run out and figure out how I'm going to do all these things. No. No, the way it comes about is we say, I'm going to keep pressing into my Jesus. I'm going to keep listening to him. I'm going to keep growing in my walk with him. He'll bring about what he wants to bring about when he wants to bring about it. And if we're listening, we'll hear those instructions. If we're not listening, then we'll probably run off and try to do it on our own. Don't get ahead of him, but don't fall behind him. Don't get ahead of him, but don't fall behind him. Is everything that Pastor Ben and Pastor Shane said in those words come to pass? No. No, there's more. There's more. But I tell you what, I love how in the quiet, in the separateness, in the time when we're apart, the Holy Spirit is speaking to us. He's speaking to us, and he's giving us clear instructions. And I think sometimes it's important for us as a body to go back and listen to some of these things. You know, when I was putting this together, I thought this might be a little odd to be revisiting two words that we just heard a few months ago. But I think sometimes as a church, we come to church and think, okay, I'm going to hear my word for today. I'm going to go out and I'm going to give my life. But to see, in God's scheme of things, in his economy, it's all connected. One message isn't separate from the other. One work isn't apart from the other. His economy is all intertwined. It's all intertwined. And so the words that he spoke to us 6 months ago are relevant in 2020. The words he spoke to us in January, the words he spoke to us 2 years ago. We don't live from Sunday to Sunday just to kind of get our inspiration revved up and then we go about and live life. No, we respond to whatever Holy Spirit is speaking to us. It's relevant. This isn't just a Sunday thing. This isn't just a church thing. This isn't just a one day a week thing. This is an everyday life thing. And the details of that everyday life and the things that we're hearing matter. They matter. How we respond, what we do, it matters. Promises made, promises kept. That's our God. That's our God. You can trust his word. You can trust his word. I'm going to be working on something else. There's several references throughout Scripture that says something like this. Here is a trustworthy saying. It'll start out the passage. Here's a trustworthy saying. And I'm kind of working on compiling some of those. Because there's a reason that they're introduced that way. It's almost like, pay attention to what's following this because you can trust it. And I stand here today saying, our God is doing an amazing work. And we may not always, again, during this time when, you know, on the surface, it doesn't look like a whole lot's going on. But there is a lot going on. And it is good. It is good. I was reminded, again, this is just another example of people kind of stepping up and emerging, you know. During this time of closure, things being closed, the pantry has continued to operate. And we were closed for a little bit. But as we reopened, Linda had to rely on people. She had to rely on people in kind of new ways. And I'll tell you what, that team is amazing. And the things that they did to reach out to this community. And this is another example of people stepping up. I stand here today saying you're all part of the equation here. You're all part of the equation here. God has a call on us as a church, as a people, who are going to continue to press into him. We're going to continue to stay bowed down to him. Again, you know, we give all glory for God for all of these examples, all of these testimonies. I give God the glory for new lives in Christ, a whole new family, a whole new family who is getting planted. And that, again, that's just one example. Let's stand. So again, next Saturday, if you're so inclined, come on out. I have no program planned or anything, so you know, if you're expecting one, it's not coming from me. Really, I'll just be here. I'm planning to walk and pray, and I believe, and we may see some more of these. I don't know. It's kind of on my heart that between now and the end of the year, and maybe forever. Of us coming together to just say, Lord, this is your work. Lord, what would you have us do? Lord, how would you have us minister? Lord, direct us on who needs to hear about you, who needs to be introduced to you. So next Saturday from 12 to 2, and then if you're in the remnant, from 2 to 5. Lord, I thank you. I thank you that words you spoke through Pastor Ben, Darkness Before the Dawn, words you spoke through Pastor Shane, The Surge, the specific details that you poured into them, that then they poured into us, that you've actually done. You've done things. And we could have never put those details together like you do. We could have never put names to those examples as you did. Only you know the beginning from the end and everything in between. But we're living in the in-between day by day. We are the in-between day by day, every day. Living in your promises, living in your truths, and living in your power and your grace and your love and your wisdom. We cannot do this apart from you, and so we dig in, we press in even more. We don't want to miss any detail, any part of what you're unfolding in our midst. And we don't take it for granted, and we don't make any assumptions. But we fully tap into you as our resource, you as our strength, you as our hope. Lord, I pray blessing even now on this team that's about to lead us as we close out our time together. I pray blessing, take them to new heights, new depths, new places. I pray for revelation, more revelation, more revelation as your work unfolds among us. We recognize today that we are flawed and we fall short and we mess up and we miss things along the way. I thank you so much for your grace that is new every morning. It's new every morning. Your mercies are new every morning. I pray you'll continue to minister to the Hubs, continue to minister to Kyler and his family, continue to minister to Deb and her family. Minister. I pray, Lord, you'll seal in those that stepped into the water. Seal them in by your Holy Spirit. Seal them in. Reassure them that the steps they took are the right steps and the only steps. I pray you'll be glorified in this place today. Be glorified in every life as we go out of here. Let us go out of here with a message on our lips, to a world that is chaotic and confused. And in many cases without hope. And we have hope to give. Give you all the praise today. Pray that your name will be lifted high.